this is something new, and we're getting used to it. And so what I'm going to do is continue from where I was last week. Because last week we talked about All Nations Gathering and what took place during that and what happened. And I want to continue on a little bit, because the other thing that I talked about generations last time. But this time I want to talk about prophecy, because one of the things that we heard a lot couple weeks ago at All Nations Gathering was how God answered people's prayers and how God directed people in what they were doing and the things that they were taking place in their lives. And it was about a lot of stuff about prophecy going on. And so if we look at Proverbs 15:23, it says, a man finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. That's one of the things that prophecy is. It's a timely word. We just wrote on the cards, put them in the plate, prayer requests for people who are traveling, people who need travel mercies, people who are sick. What they just put in that plate is a timely word. And sometimes there's things and times in our lives when God gives us a timely word for whatever purpose. Sometimes one of the things about prophecy is it's an encouragement. We'll talk a little bit more about that. So it's an encouragement. And so that's what it is. We think of sometimes prophecy that Moses standing up with the rod, you know, different things like that, or Agabus talking about Paul with a belt around him. And we think it's always somebody else, but it's not. God can use all of us, and God uses all of us. And the sad part is a lot of times we don't recognize it. I know I don't. There's times that I look back and go, that was a God thing. Been there, done that? And we forget that, you know, we forget to look at it. So we get those timely words in that. And so it's 1 Timothy 4:14. It says, do not neglect the gift which was given you through the through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid hands on you. What that's talking about is talking about Timothy. He was a young man. And he was not, and the reason I put it in there is because it shows Timothy was not born with prophetic power. It says it was given to him as a gift when they laid hands on him. It was given to him. We weren't born with prophetic powers, but we have them through Jesus Christ when we accepted him as the Lord and Savior. And so one of the things we also need to realize is that it's through God, when God speaks, prophecy is speaking. When God started creation and he wanted light, what did he do? He said, light be, light was. Essentially, if you go back and you look at it in the ancient language, it was very short. Light be, light was. That was it. And so God started speaking. But, you know, all we have is the account from our creation of this world. God's eternal. We don't know what all he said before that. Because the universes were created and all different kinds. But before, all we have is that, starting with Genesis 1. But God was around a long time before that. Yeah. And so God was speaking. And God continues to speak today. Some people say, well, God doesn't speak anymore. How many of you have had a message from God in different ways? You know? See, again, sometimes we don't recognize it, but God is still speaking. Yeah. And the reality is, we can't get God to shut up if we want to. We can ignore, but God is still speaking. And, you know, some people say, well, you know, I had a bad prophetic experience. I have too. But the reason is because humans are involved. And when humans are involved, there's always time to make mistakes. And things can start out. How many of you have ever heard of Azusa Street? You know, it was a prophetic working that took place in San Francisco years ago. And it was powerful. And it was in there for several years. But then it went kind of wrong and fell apart. Why? Because people's attitudes and things got in the way, and it interrupted it. It got in the road there. And you'd hear, it's kind of like if somebody gave a bad prophecy, somebody would stand up and say, "As God was with Noah when he parted the Red Sea, I will be with you." And sits down and then gets back up a second later and says, "Excuse me, I made a mistake. As God was with Moses when he parted the Red Sea, I will be with you." That wouldn't happen because God does not make mistakes.
Amen.
You know, God does not make mistakes. So I want to talk a little bit about prophecy and what's going on. And I got to get my mouth to calm down because I get excited and I get going too fast. But one of the things about prophecy is prophecy is always, true prophecy from God is always accurate. It's always accurate. And if you, all the way up through the Bible, you can read different things in the accounts that show you that God is accurate. But if God wants something to happen, God speaks. And the other thing is, God works through people. Now, I only know one account where God worked through a donkey.
Amen.
You know? But that was to get the guy's attention. You know? And he says, you know, the donkey said, "Why are you beating me? Just shut up and listen." But my words, not theirs, okay? But the animals get important. So what I want to do is, if the time we're going to be talking about, Israel had been following God. But they got kind of off track and they said, "Look, we want to have a king like all the other nations." God would be guiding them, right? And all of a sudden they want to have a king. And God says, "Okay, you can have a king, but this is what's going to happen. He's going to do this and this and this and this. And you're basically kind of going to regret it." You know, but they insisted. And so I want to start with 1 Samuel 10:1. It said, "When Samuel took a flask of oil." Now, two things take place. There's two anointings here, okay? We're going to hear about a private anointing and then a public anointing of Saul. The same thing happened with David later on, remember? He got anointed and anointed. He got anointed that he could become king for later on. So Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, "Has not the Lord anointed you leader over his inheritance?" He said, "No. Hasn't God done that?" Okay? And he put it in that thing. So he's anointing Saul privately right now. Okay? And why did he do that? Well, God went through this whole part to let Saul know that God was talking to him. To let him know that it was God talking to him. And it was a big deal for Saul. Saul needed that. Okay? So we continue on. It says, and this is where the accuracy part gets in there. It says, "When you leave me today, you will meet two men near Rachel's tomb at Ziklag on the road to on the border of Benjamin." Okay, when you leave, this is what's going to happen. That would be like me saying, "Barry, when you leave today, you get down to the corner, there's going to be a piece of money laid on the ground. You're going to pick it up and put it in your left pocket." And so what he's saying is that when you leave today, you're going to get in Rachel's tomb. You're going to meet a couple of people. And they will say to you. Now, Saul was out looking for donkeys. His dad's donkeys had been missed. He and his servant were out searching and there were no luck. Okay? "They will say to you, 'The donkeys you set out to look for have been found. And now your father has stopped thinking about them and is worried about you. He's asking, what shall I do about my son?' Pretty specific, okay? Then you will go on from there until you reach the great tree of Tabor. Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there. One will be carrying three young goats, another three loaves of bread, and another a skin of wine. Okay, you're coming out of Smith's, and I'm telling you, you're carrying some olive oil, some garlic, and a loaf of bread. I mean, that's pretty accurate, you know. This is what's going to happen, okay? And so it's accurate, and then it happened just like he, and then it happened just like he said in 4 through 6. They will greet you and offer you two loaves of bread, which you will accept from them. How many loaves of bread did they have?
Three.
They're going to offer you two of them, and you're going to accept it. Okay? After that, you will go to Gilgamesh of God, where there is a Philistine outpost. As you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high place with lyres, tambourines, flutes, and harps being played before them, and they will be prophesying more. Detailed stuff. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. Okay, you're going to meet a procession of prophets. You're going to join them, and you're going to start prophesying with them with power. That's pretty exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Saul is just what? He's an ordinary guy, the son of Kish. And they're giving him this very, very, very accurate explanation of what's going to happen when he leaves him. Why would he do that? Because he's insecure and he needs it. And it's to let him know that God's talking to him. If I want to talk to Kay, I don't say, Kelsey, will you tell Kay? Now, Kay might not be in the frame of mind to receive it directly, and so you have to tell, it might go this way, but usually if God wants somebody to know something, God tells them. Mm-hmm. When God wanted light, he didn't say, Barry, will you go work on this and get some light going? He didn't. He just said, let there be light. And there was. And so he went from there. And if God wants something, he speaks it. He speaks it out. We have to accept it. That's our responsibility. But God's word has the power to change our lives. God's word does. Have you ever read something in the Bible that changed your life? That you went, wow. Knowing that God's salvation was there and bringing that into my life changed my life. Does it mean I never make mistakes? No, unfortunately. Okay. Secondly, true prophecy is encouraging. It is encouraging. Years ago, back in the 80s, when I was attending here, when we did communion, we did it a while. We had people would line up, and they'd come up, and they'd go to people, and they would serve them communion and pray over them. And I was standing right over there, and this couple came up for prayer. I served them communion, and I prayed over them. And they thanked me, and they left. Okay. But what was weird was, for the longest time, every time they saw me after that, they thanked me for that prayer. And you know what? What did I pray? No clue. Couldn't tell you. I mean, one of them had an illness, so maybe it had something to do with that. But I can't just say thank you. You're welcome. You're welcome. Why didn't I have a clue? Because the message wasn't for me. It was for them. And it stuck. Now, did that make me special? No. Now, maybe spatial, but not special. Okay? And so it was there. But the point is, God can work through anybody, and God does. And God can give a message to somebody. Now, I know that some of you have God's worked through you and given you a message. Or it was in there. Okay? In 1 Samuel 10:15, it says, when Saul gets back, he's being questioned about what took place. And it said, when Saul's uncle said, "Tell me what Samuel said to you," Saul replied, "He answered us that he assured us that the donkeys had been found." Okay? He assured us the donkeys had been found. "But he did not tell his uncle what Samuel had said about the kingship." Saul had been anointed king, but he didn't tell his uncle when he asked about it. A couple of reasons. When they anointed a king, they did it in a certain way. Saul was anointed king by Samuel in private, but later in public, because that's the way they did. They did things in public, they drew lots. In other words, they tossed the dice, threw straws, something along that line. And so he didn't tell him about the kingship. David didn't tell his either. So what was Saul like? What made him so special? He was ordinary, but to look at him, he said, Kish had a son named Saul, an impressive young man without equal among the Israelites. A head taller than any of the others. He was a head taller. That's like Kelsey. His head is taller than me. He was a head taller than he. But he didn't tell anybody else about the word because he waited till they got to town because it was going to be a public thing. Okay, they saw. And God is going to show them that Saul's king. But he wanted to ensure Saul before they got there. So what took place? When Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel near, the tribe of Benjamin was chosen. Okay? They had the 12 tribes. They cast lots. The tribe of Benjamin was chosen. Then he brought forward the tribe of Benjamin, clan by clan, and Matthias' clan was chosen. Finally, Saul, son of Kish, was chosen. But when they looked for him, he was not to be found. I think this is just hilarious. He was going to be the king. He was not found. He was not found. So they inquired further of the Lord. Now, they're looking around, they can't find him. He's a head taller than anybody else. Now, you would think somebody who's a head taller, they'd go, "Oh, it's right over there." But they didn't find him. So they inquired of the Lord. Has the man came here yet? And the Lord said, "Yes, he's hidden himself among the baggage." The clans all came together. They had baggage. Yeah, he's hiding over there in the baggage. I think it's it's one of those things where you think you can hide from God. I'm going to go hide in the baggage. They won't find me. They won't know. But he's gone and hid himself in the baggage. And it's sitting there. And it's like Adam and Eve were hid in the garden. And then God said, "Where are you?" God knew where they were. Mm-hmm. And God knows where we are. In our walk with him, in everything that we do, God knows what kind of things are going on in our lives. And God may, if we hide ourselves like that, sometimes God can't communicate with us because we won't let him. So in that case, then he'll speak to us through a different person. But he gets there. And he brings him out. A lot of this has to do with Saul's insecurity. He's tall. He's handsome. He's probably built well. But he's hiding the baggage. Now, like most of us, he's insecure. It's really interesting that a lot of times people we think should be something that's great isn't. And in the years of several times in the hospital, I've met famous people. They're just people. I've met with high up church leaders. They're just people. Now, sometimes we had a meeting with the mayor or whoever, and Scott would say, "Aren't you nervous?" And I go, "No." Why? They're just people. We're just people in what we do. But it made me think about when I was younger. And I've talked about it before. When I was in junior high and high school, I was bullied a lot because I was skinny and a little on the effeminate side, a lot on the effeminate side. Okay? And so I was bullied and envious of people. When I graduated, I came to the five-year reunion. It hadn't changed much. The same people were the same people. So I was hesitant. I was thought, well, 30-year reunion was coming around. And I thought, well, I'll go. So I went to the 30-year reunion, and I actually had a good time. But when I walked in, I looked over there, and I saw somebody sitting there, and I thought, who's that? Oh, yeah, that's the student body president. Gosh, I remember him having hair. He was cuter then. He didn't weigh as much. Oh, there's that football jock that I was so afraid of. He's a lot overweight. And it was like talking with him. And again, some of the really haughty people were now more humble. And it was like I learned that they were just people. But I didn't go to my 50-year reunion because my attitude was wrong. And that got in my way. But, you know, it's easy. We can get off whack. And sometimes God can't talk to us. But they had this prophetic word for Saul because he was insecure. And so what is a prophecy? It helps us, it's encouragement. It encourages us. And so that's what prophecy means. It's a word, a time. It's an encouragement. And that's why God gives it to us, is to encourage us in what we're doing, to strengthen us. And that's what he was doing with Saul. And you know, some people will say, well, you know, if you read about Saul, he turned bad. Yeah, he did. As I said, Azusa Street, a lot of them, they go along here and then they turn this way because they get caught up in the human part of it. And for years, many, many years, Saul was a good king. But he became afraid of somebody taking his position or somebody doing something wrong. Or he became worried. And the human part of him took over. And he ceased to be a king because he started thinking about songs. Now, he started thinking about the wrong things, and things got in his way. And that's happened to a lot of people. And so when we look at people like that, we shouldn't judge them by that, because we wouldn't want them to do that with us. To look at one thing in our life that went screwy and judge their whole life by that. Because some people have done a big turnaround. I read Pastor was talking about a guy that he prayed over, and the guy was an alcoholic, not a believer. His wife was a believer, and he was an alcoholic, and he would, you know, sometimes go to church, sometimes not. And so she told him that this particular Sunday this church was going to be praying over her, and so he said he'd go with her. So he did. He was a little bit tipsy still, and people could, you could tell that he just getting over something. And so he went to church with her, and they had time for them to pray over her. And they says, would you want to come up and get prayed over too? And he said, okay. So he went up there, and this pastor laid hands on him, and he goes, Your problem is you're in and out. You're in for a while, you're out for a while. You're in for a while, you're out for a while. And that's because when you were 9 years old, you were told through a prophetic message that you were supposed to be a minister, and you've been running from it ever since. Now, would you like to accept Jesus Christ now? And he said yes. So he did. The pastor went away, came back 3 years later, and they brought this, they said, I've got somebody I want you to meet. And they brought this couple over, and they said, do you recognize him? And he looked at him, he says, no. He goes, this is In and Out. In and Out had been kind of, became kind of a thing with him and the congregation because they represented him. But what had happened after he prophesied over him, he went through school, became a pastor, led his whole family to Christ, and was now going out to start a church in the name of the Lord. That's what happens. God's word does that for us. And so we need to realize that it will happen as God tells us it will, as long as we don't get in the way. And Joshua 21:45, it says, not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Not one of them failed. Every one was fulfilled. When God speaks, it is fulfilled. It happens. If you want to hear God's voice, what do? Shut up. Be still and know that I am God. Get out of the way. Be quiet. And a lot of people in these testimonies, they said, God told me to be quiet. You can hear better that way. Yeah, I have a lot of times when I have to shut up. Okay? So this is just one example from the Old Testament. There were lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of references in the scriptures about prophecy and different things. This is just one that I learned about. Okay? But in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 14:3, it says, but everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Now, sometimes you hear a prophecy and you go, how is that comfort? But then you go, oh, that's how. When we finally shut up and listen. But that's what it is. Encouragement means to put courage into something. And whether to do it. Acts 15:32. Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the brothers. They did much to encourage and strengthen the brothers. That's why we're here today. We're supposed to be encouraging and strengthening each other. We have social time down there. Is that so we can get cookies? Do I need it? No. Do I take it? Yes. Okay? But it's so we can sit and chat and talk with each other and encourage each other. And let other people encourage us. It's not for the food. It's to share with each other, talk with each other, get to know each other. I can talk with Dean and get to know him better. I can talk with Jay and get to know him better. Kay and Karina, Jess. Do I know everything about Jess? I've known Jess for years. Do I know everything about Jess? No. But that's what prophecy is about. God will give you a word. I've told the other story before about my friend Denise living in San Francisco. When I was building, working on my house on Kelsey, I was extending a room up on the second floor. I had the roof off, three of the walls down. And I wanted to get it done because I had taken some time off of work. I knew my dad was going to die. I knew it. That's prophetic. Got my belt on, I'm working on it, and the voice keeps saying, "You need to go to San Francisco." "No, I'm going to finish this room." "No, you need to go to San Francisco." About the third time, I said, "Okay." I undid my tool belt, dropped it on the floor. Didn't even put it away. Just dropped it on the floor, went down, packed, and headed out for San Francisco. And I got over there. And I have a key to Denise's apartment so that I can go over anytime I want. I forgot to bring it. Ring the bell, nobody there. Okay? So I walk up two blocks to Giletto's, get a little tub of my favorite ice creams, come back, nobody there, set them there. It was a cold day. Set them there by the doorbell. It was an apartment building. Walked down the street to the grocery store, bought supper, came back, rang the bell. She was home. Went inside, we got talking. She was terribly depressed. She had just gone back from some kind of a meeting. And so we talked. I fixed dinner. The next day, we walked 3 miles down to Golden Gate Park to the ocean. And talked. We took the trolley car back. The next day, we walked to Sausalito, which is across Golden Gate Bridge. Turned out it's a 9-mile walk. Had lunch, caught the train back. Then she was fine. So I got in my car, came home, got home Monday night. My dad died Tuesday morning. Was it a shock? Was I devastated? No. Because I knew it was going to happen. My dad had been really, really, really sick for a long time. God gave me comfort in advance. So it was okay that I was gone. We had said our goodbyes. Not so many words like, "Well, Dad, I know you're going to die, so I'm going to be gone." No, I knew. But I was comforted, and so I could go and minister to Denise and share with her and talk with her, get it through that depression. That's a prophetic thing. But see, I didn't recognize it as that till later. I went, "Oh, that was a God thing. That was a God thing." And if you think about your life, you'll find God things in your life that are remarkable. So what I want you to do is close your eyes for a minute. Ask the Holy Spirit, "What do you want me to learn from this? Show me the God things in my life." Would you pray with me? Loving God, I thank you. I thank you for your presence in our lives, for those God things, the God times when you have comforted us, when you've strengthened us, when you've used us to strengthen someone else, or if we're not listening, listen to someone else so that we could be lifted up or they could be lifted up. Lord, your opportunities are there, and you speak to us all the time. We don't hear it because we're not listening. Help us listen and receive what you're trying to say. Because, Lord, You speak to us. That's how you communicate. You speak. Lord, help us to hear your voice as you speak and not get in your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.